Nida, you're a visiting assistant professor at Kalamazoo College, and one of the things that you've brought over with you is your interest in migration, marginalized voices, and you've taken on to help on a project, an installation that would complement Hostile Terrain 94. So let's begin with that. Explain, what is Hostile Terrain 94?
It is a participatory art project that was originally organized and sponsored by the Undocumented Migration Project. They're a nonprofit. It's sort of like an interdisciplinary research slash art slash education slash media collective directed by Jason De Leon, anthropologist. So they've been doing research for many years. It's a really involved and impressive project that includes ethnography, archaeology, anthropology, forensic anthropology. I mean, it's a great project. And so they came up with the Hostile Terrain 94, which is an installation composed of, I think, like 3,200 handwritten toe tags placed on a wall map of the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. And each toe tag represents a recovered body of a migrant who died crossing the desert between 2000 and 2020, so over that time span. You know, the tags are placed geologically in the exact location, you know, so they're using geolocation for this. And the tags are also color-coded. You know, I think it's Manila color identifies the bodies, while orange-colored tags identify on represent unidentified bodies, so remains that have not been identified yet. It's a painfully powerful art project. You know, each toe tag, they have very specific information. It's based on data collection. So they include the name, if known, age, sex, cause of death, condition of the body, when it was found, and specific location. It is, I'll talk more about it, you know, in terms of what it's about, but I wanted also to mention that these installations are happening, I think there's over 150, if I remember correctly, different exhibitions of this installation that will happen simultaneously throughout 2021 and 2022 in a number of
institutions. I was going to ask about that because I assumed, yeah, that they mm-hmm. were all over the place, not just here at the Arcus Center.
Right. So it's institutions nationally and globally. Originally, everything was going to happen. It was meant to happen around October, right before the election. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, things have shifted. And the reason why it was important that it happened right before the election is that the piece, the project, brings up the policy known as prevention through deterrence, you know, which is a United States Border Patrol policy that was implemented in the 90s under Bill Clinton. And it's designed to discourage undocumented migrants from attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border through the usual yeah. routes, you know, near cities, near urban ports of entry. And so migrants are now forced to go through the desert, through remote and unpopulated, you know, depopulated regions where the environment itself, the harsh environment, would act as a deterrent. You know, this probably the Border Patrol, the title Hostile Terrain comes from, you know, the term that the Border Patrol used in implementing these, acknowledging that the terrain is hostile and that people would die. You know, obviously the strategy has failed in deterring border crossing. You know, more than 6 million people have attempted through the Sonoran Desert alone, and at least 3,200 people have died, which are the tags that are part of the installation. And they've died either mostly from dehydration, hypothermia. You know, it's extremely hot in the day. It's extremely cold in at night. You know, it's a harsh journey.
How accurate is that number? Do you know, 3,200? I imagine that's changing all the time.
Right now, those are specific numbers until 2020. So okay. Those are specific to the bodies that have been found. And it's using partly Border Patrol information, government information. Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk about what effects from all of this you're seeing, what feedback in Michigan, in Kalamazoo, any at K College, how localized?
The installation itself is specific to the Sonora Desert, so that the map that we see is specific to Arizona and the desert there. But I'm happy that you bring Kalamazoo and Michigan into it, because that's part of what we want to do with that companion piece as well. But before we talk about that, the Hostile Terrain 94 installation that we've been talking about,
it
is a participatory project as well. So a vital part of the piece is that each tag is handwritten by a member of the community in which the piece is being exhibited. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the past year and a half, you know, members of the community, students, professors, you know, we have gone to the ARCA Center to join in writing, you know, transferring the data into those tags. And that continues to happen. And actually, the ARCA Center invites volunteers who want to fill out more toe tags. Part of the process is, you know, that as we fill out those toe tags with those very specific, you know, that very specific information for each individual, you know, we're sort of bearing witness to the crisis, to their journey, to their death. And I find that to be quite strong also as another layer onto this artwork. And, you know, for people who would like to volunteer to fill out some of the toe tags, you can just do it by going to the website, the arcacenter.kzoo.edu, and, you know, if you scroll down, you'll find a link to sign up to fill out tags. Now with COVID, they're doing it at home, so you can either pick them up at the ARCA Center, or they will mail them to you. But yeah, I think that's also an essential part of this project, how it involves the community. And at this point, we're still filling out toe tags. We've started to create the map on the wall, but we still have months of continuing to work on the toe tags and installing the piece, hopefully by the end of the summer. We're hoping, with COVID, everything has shifted a bit.
Yeah.
So we're in we're allowing a more flexible schedule to happen, but that's our hope. The ARCA Center invited me not just to help out with Hostile Terrain 94, but they also invited me to design and produce a wall installation to accompany the project on the other wall in the center. And that came up because I, as in 2014, I did a fellowship at the ARCA Center, through which I created this large text-based piece that took over the entire wall in the center, with, you know, what I was calling the voices of the many communities in Kalamazoo. And with that, you know, I collected local stories through interviews, casual conversations, shared writing, oral history, archives. You know, students from Kalamazoo College and Western Michigan joined in that process of collecting. And so, you know, from that work, they invited me to see what I would design as a companionship for Hostile Terrain. And so the idea of voices, I think, was very present in their inviting me, and also as soon as I started thinking about it. Just because the Hostile Terrain is so much about data, you know, and so much about the bodies that have been found in the desert. So I wanted to bring in the voices, the memories of either people who have crossed the border or family members of people who have died crossing the desert. And so the work will include text, you know, collected from oral history archives. So, you know, for example, we're researching the Historias and Recuerdos oral history projects from the Colibri Center for Human Rights in Arizona, as well as many other oral history archives, nationwide. But we also wanted to include that the local voices. So we're inviting anyone who would like to share their experiences, either of crossing the border or the crossing of a loved one, to, you know, contact the center and submit their stories. They will remain anonymous. And the link is also on the webpage, archivecenter.kzu.edu.
We'll link to that on our page as well.
Great. And so, you know, we're still in the collecting phase right now. So, and the research phase. Eventually, what will happen is that we will select, and by we, I'm talking about a team. You know, it's not just my project, but, you know, Jesse Herrera, who is a former ARCA Center student staff and K College graduate, Marcos Ferguson Morales, who's a K College student graduating this year, also ARCA Center staff member, and Julie Maron Parker, who's the ARCA Center art coordinator. We're all working on this together and collecting these voices. The intention is to memorialize, to honor and to remember those who have died while crossing the desert, but also to center the lives and the memories and voices of all who have been impacted by this.
Let's talk about the role of art, the artist as activist, because a lot of your work sends an activist type of a message to people, and not just in this project. You recently at K College worked on getting students to create posters to encourage mask wearing, which shouldn't be controversial, and yet it was. What is the role of art or the artist as activist?
Wow, how can we not be? art and by art, that includes all the arts, not just the visual arts. But,
right.
But yes, we as artists use many different languages, you know, many, many different approaches, many different strategies to share thoughts, information, you know. So I think that plays a lot into it.
Well, certainly your art is activism for you. You seem to have that in your spirit. So do the two always go hand in hand for you?
Through my work, I go in and out. A lot about what my work is about is, you know, it's, I call it navigation, you know. Mm-hmm. Mapping and navigation is very much part of my work. And so movement, both physical movement, whether it's migration or just how we move through various different types of spaces. Mm-hmm. But also mental, you know, how we feel and think and how we perceive the world around us is very important to me and part of my work. But I do incorporate various strategies, and some of my work is quite personal and intimate, and other works are public artworks that hope to call attention and grab attention and communicate. So I feel that navigating those two things, you know, my personal emotions and thoughts and processes, as well as looking at the world from a more critical standpoint and just putting it out there, you know, reflecting what I see or what I feel with with the visual arts language connects with me. Yeah.
Other than honoring and in general raising awareness of what's going on at the border, what are you hoping your students at Kalamazoo College, but also the community, will take away, will learn, maybe think about after this project is complete?
We're hoping to raise awareness at the inhumane policies that are creating this humanitarian crisis, you know, but we also want to memorialize, we want to remember, we want to center the humanity first and foremost. Mm-hmm. How I envision the words, which would be excerpts from the stories that we collect, will be phrases that will be sort of combined, you know, fill the wall, but in a way that seems more of a flow of voices.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the more traditional paragraph or row of or column of text. So I'm hoping that there will be a poetic side to this, you know, as we start to read and navigate the wall, as we read through these voices, we may, one phrase or one voice may flow into someone else's thoughts or memories. And that to me is important. That's a space where we as viewers or readers of the work are able to, you know, not only go into other people's memories and stories, but also connect with them and connect those with our own experiences and memories and stories.
Thank you so much, Nida, for letting us know more about this project, and we'll follow it to its conclusion. So thank you so much for giving us some of your time today.
Thank you, Zinta.